And of course, it tells us in Hebrews the reason he did that is so that when you talk to God and you say, God, I just don't think you're being fair. You can't possibly understand my life. And God says, oh yeah, actually I can. I understand better than you think I do. I just can't deal with all this temptation. He says, well, I felt all those same temptations. I know how to deal with it. I'll help you. Do you want me to? So the reason that he lived a self-limited life in the very world that he made was for our benefit. The world didn't recognize him. The old King James says the world knew him not. That Greek word for no, if you've been here very long, you know there's a couple of different Greek words for no. This is the word gnosko, which means to know by recognition or experience. Interesting to me that there are still people, as I said earlier, Jesus could be standing right there, he could be working in their lives, and they just don't recognize him. Oh man, I could tell you times in my life when God was trying so hard to be my comforter, but I just had this thing in front of me. It was so big. You know, if you stick a dime in front of your eye, it'll blot out the sun. If you get it close enough to your eye. You know how we are? Something can be just blotting out everything. It's all we can see. God can be standing there going like this, and we don't see it because of this thing that we don't move out of the way. Amazing how we cannot recognize who he is. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own. If you're interested in grammar, and I'm positive that most of you are not. Sorry, I am. Words have a lot of power to them. And getting the wrong one sometimes can really be misleading. He came to that which was his own. That is neuter. So it's speaking of what was his property, which would be all of the creation. Remember Colossians 1:16. Everything was made by him and for him. It's rightfully his. You are not your own. If you gave yourself to Jesus or if you haven't given yourself to Jesus, you are property of your creator. The remarkable thing to me, the thing I'll never understand as long as I live, is why God allowed humans to have a free will. Because look what we've done with it. We've just screwed things up. God says, okay, just pick whatever you want. Do we always pick the right things? Do you? Well, I don't. It's the mercy of God that I'm not in jail. It's the mercy of God that I didn't jump off a bridge at one time in my life. It's the mercy of God that I haven't been killed driving any one of about 50 fast cars that I've owned. The most amazing respect that God has shown to humans is to give them a free will. We can look at our creator and say, sorry, I'm going to do what I want to do. So it's not really news in verse 11 that says he came to the property that was his, the world itself, walked in it, limited himself to it. And then he came to his own people, who he also created. But they didn't receive him. That's a powerful word. It's a pivotal word in the next couple of verses. Because the next verse says, but to everyone that did receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God. 10 more minutes and I'll let you out of here. Came to his own people, people who were rightfully his. He made them. Can I just tell you something that's protected me from doing some really stupid things a few times in my life? I have done stupid things, but it's because I didn't have this in the front of my mind. One of the things that protected me from some really stupid decisions when I held in the front of my mind that Jesus is holding the atoms in my body together as we speak. All it would take for him to judge me would just be for him simply to stop protecting me. Have you ever had a close call? Have you ever had, yes, that was your life. That's Richard's life, Mr. Close Call. Guys are dropping all around him like flies, and I don't mean to trivialize that. But you can look at a point in your life and realize, I shouldn't be here. I'm here because God watched over me. Those who were rightfully his people did not receive him. I'll give you the Greek word. It's fun to say. Paralambano. Sounds like sort of like a South American dance a little bit, doesn't it? Paralambano. Let's all do the paralambano. Receive is the way it's translated, and it's the same root that's used down in verse 12. These people not receiving, here's what it means. It means to accept and acknowledge someone as who they claim to be, and then welcoming what it is that they offer. So the negative form of that means God came to people who rightfully were his. He made them. And they said, you know, says who that you're the Son of God? Says who that you're the Creator? But I don't need no stinking salvation. You know, it's looking at what God offers and who he says he is and said, don't think so. No, thank you. Check, please. But to all who did receive him, to everybody, that includes many of us in this room, who'd looked at Jesus and we're not good and we know we're not good, and he says, that's okay. I love people that aren't good. I'll give you righteousness you can't earn. I'll give you a new life. Tell you what, I'm your creator. I made you. You can blow me off if you want to, but if you want to ask me, I'll come in, I'll give you a new life, and I'll tell you what, I'll adopt you. I'll become your dad, which is what verse 12 says. To all who did receive him, to those who believed on his name. Here's another one of John's favorite words. Pisteuo is the verb in Greek, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pisteuo. It means to trust in him, to cling to him, to rely upon him. It means the leaning of your full weight on him. It's different than believing in him is different than believing about him. Remember what James said about that? James says, you say that you believe in God. Big deal. He says demons believe in God. They believe who he is. They believe he's real. They don't trust him. They haven't submitted themselves to him. So what you believe about God could actually damn you. But what saves us is when we trust in him and lean upon him. John uses this word pisteuo 98 times in this gospel. I would say it's probably a pretty critical word. Interesting phrase, it says, to those who believed on his name, who he claims to be. Jesus Christ the Lord. Interesting. I'm going to blame CBS, okay, or CNN, but it might not have been them. I was reading about some archaeological discovery where someone claimed that we have found the entire Christ family tomb. You know, Mary Christ, Jesus Christ, little Billy Bob Christ. You know, like Jesus is his first name, Christ is his last name. His name Jesus, the Hebrew name, is Yeshua, or Jehovah Shua is the lengthened version of it. It means God is our rescuer. God is our salvation. A lot of Puerto Rican baseball players named Jesus, Jesus. They didn't die for anybody's sins. They aren't God's idea of our rescuer. The thing that made Jesus special amongst all the other little boys running around with that name is he was the one that God sent to rescue us. The word Christ is simply the Greek, it's the English translation of the Greek attempt to translate the word Mashiach. It's the Greek word for Messiah. So it's his title. The Holy One, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the Rescuer. And the Lord simply means master, owner. So what it means to have the right to become God's child by believing in the name of Jesus, that means you believe that he's our salvation. You believe that he's the one that God sent to rescue us. You believe that he's your master and he's your owner. You put your weight on that and God says, that's it, you're in. You're into my family. I always vent about this, but it always ticks me off. Remember that song? I think it came from a musical. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Kind of a pretty song. But there's that one lyric in the middle that says, with God as our Father, brothers all are we. Not true. It's one of those things people believe. One of the things that people believe that are not based on the Bible. Like, good people go to heaven. The Bible says, no, sorry, there aren't any good people. The only people that go to heaven are going to be bad people that know they're bad people and come to Jesus and he cleanses them. But this idea that we're all God's children is not a biblical concept. We are all his creation, but the relationship of coming to him where he's my dad and I'm his child, and of course, you know, I'm his favorite. I know Abby thinks she's his favorite, but that's because she is, and that's because I am. But the relationship where I enter into being his child, it tells us right here, some other places, but it tells us right here, that happens when I welcome Jesus for who he says he is, and I accept what he has to offer. There's that word receive. Then he gives me the right, the privilege, to become his child. Interesting that the verb become is a form of the verb to make something out of nothing that we saw back in the first, in verse 3. It means God causes me to become something that I didn't used to be. Now I'm his child. And then verse 13 says, children that are born not of a natural descent or a human decision or husband's will. I don't know why that always makes me sad. Because a lot of times women don't have a tremendous amount of choice in the matter, do they? Those who are not natural descendants, but those who are born of God. This is one of the places in John where we get the whole idea of what it means to be born again. It's at that point where my biological life ceases to be the only life I have. I invite him in, he makes me his child, and he gives me that Zoe life. And the biological life is going to end, but the Zoe life is not. It goes on. Wow. We did it. We made it all the way through this. Next week, we'll pick up the forward Christmas story. By the way, if you wonder when we're going to get to the Easter story, maybe next Easter, if all goes well. This is powerful stuff, and I'll tell you, there were a couple of things in here that when I first read them, I didn't just swallow them. I pondered them, and I thought about them. And the problem, the reasons why some people don't like to even think about this stuff is because if it's true, then there are implications. There's consequences to it. If God is who he says he is, then that has a whole lot of implication to it. I had the wrong idea about God for so long. I thought God had absolutely no taste. But the problem was I had him confused with church people. You know, my whole concept of God depended on the church people that I was around, and I wasn't really looking at what the Bible said. And the more I look at what the Bible said, I thought, God is wonderful. Man. In fact, the more that I study, and I'm not even a scientist, the more that I study him just as the creator, I just think I would be an idiot to not give myself to him. Do I think I can do a better job? Well, yeah, actually, I do a lot of times. I've thought, you know, God, I'm sorry. I know you're a little out of touch and you're kind of old, you're really old, and I kind of know what's best. I have proven that that is just not true. I don't know what's best. So, but that's the, these are all the words, like I said, if you can get through John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1, you aren't going to have a problem with the whole entire rest of the Bible if I believe in who he is. I invite you to consider that. The amazing thing is that God stands there in our life and he says, okay, get a few other beds. Everything else, by the way, you give yourself to is going to cost you. I'm free. But he said, get a few other bids, but I would like to be the one who runs your life. I'd like to be your life. I'd like to be your moral compass. I'd like to be your comforter, because you're going to need it in this world. I tell you, I've had stuff happen in my life that I could not stretch my brain around how a loving God could have possibly allowed it to happen. I've changed my view on some things because I got to know him better. Consider the claims that the Bible makes about him, especially if you're a Christian. Do all Christians act like they believe this stuff? No, we don't. We're just as pathetic sometimes as any other human. So God help us. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just blown away by your patience, because if you just reacted to my reactions to you, I'd be dead. I'd be toast. If you had once spoken to me and said, okay, Bob, your will be done, and you weren't hanging around to pick up the pieces, I would have been unfixable, irreparable. So, Lord, we are dependent on you. I do believe what you say here. I don't always act like it. I don't always believe you're in control, even though your word says you are. Eventually, we're going to see everything said about you is true. Lord, I just ask for faith to believe it now. We are so short-sighted. We are so destructible. Today of all days, not the day Jesus rose from the dead. We don't know exactly when that was. It's just the day we celebrate it. May we see you for who you are, like Lily sang. Incomprehensible, unchanging, amazing, loving. May we see you for who you really are today. It'll change the way we live. Bless these dear ones today, Lord. Hold them close to your heart, I pray. Thank you, Jesus, for never giving up on me. I'll praise you forever for that. Amen.
Thanks for coming. Have a happy Easter.